Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Captain Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're going to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Frankie.
How are you?
I'm doing great, man.
We have a great guest coming on later today. There's a book that I read, and I just got through it last night. I mean, I had read some of it when we booked him, and that's why we booked him, because I was enjoying the book, and I read a bunch about it. He's a doctor of naturopathic medicine. That's an actual accredited doctor.
Really interesting book and interesting science of doctoring, I guess is what we'll call it.
It's science, and it's history as well, and it's a political book as well. It's called The Untold Story of Milk, Green Pastures, Contented Cows, and Raw Dairy Foods by Ron Schmidt. And he is a doctor by Dr. Ron Schmidt. And she talks about bringing back raw milk, meaning unpasteurized milk, and raw milk products, which have been outlawed in most of the states of the United States for sale, and in parts of Canada are even illegal to give away.
Yeah, I mean, it's illegal in New Jersey, and I presume that most people in our listening audience have never had raw milk.
Well, and Mark, I know that you grew up, part of your time, you're on a farm in upstate New York with your dad, and you did have raw milk.
Yeah.
But the curative powers of raw milk, I mean, it's funny because the notion that all raw milk is bad for you comes from a time in after the Industrial Revolution had begun where the cows were kept very poorly and basically fed the slop and the waste from distilleries and breweries.
So kind of like right now.
Yeah, sadly.
Except now it's from the chicken coops and,
right, and they weren't
more disgusting places than the breweries.
But the idea of being able to get good, wholesome milk from cows that eat grass and walk around in the sunlight and lead a normal life, I don't know why that should be illegal. It's not, you know, it just doesn't make any sense unless you're big.
I guess the biggest problem is people are afraid that it won't be that. That someone will say they're doing that and not actually do it. That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, historically, there were certified milk programs. These places could opt in to be certified milk and be tested. And in states where raw milk is legal, like Connecticut, they need to be inspected and they need to be certified in order to sell raw milk. And I think that's a great idea.
You'd have to trust in the system then is what you'd have to do.
But put a warning label on it. I'm a consumer. When you talk about the Center for Consumer Freedom, which often works in favor of agribusiness and not in favor of consumers. As a consumer, I want the freedom to buy from a small dairy farmer if I want to.
Of course.
And put a label on it. It says, warning, this is unpasteurized. Mm-hmm. Be careful. But the health benefits of unpasteurized milk are unparalleled, and the flavors of unpasteurized milk are very different. We come in contact, though, when we talk about things like raw milk. And what Dr. Ron talks about is he says that because pasteurized milk has so little nutrients left, and because our diet of refined foods overall, all the enzymes are killed, and therefore our nutrients are so compromised that it's unhealthy. And he's taking some big chances because we have a strange thing that's gone on, and people should realize what's happened, and it's a very bad and very un-American set of laws that have passed.
I think that's exactly right. It is un-American.
In 13 states, we have food disparagement laws that have been passed. What that means is that if you say that a certain food is unhealthy or bad for you, you can be sued. And unlike any other part of America, we have free speech. Mm-hmm. And if I say that I don't like a certain baseball team or I think that trains are unsafe, you've got to prove that I know the trains are safe and am lying about it. We protect my free speech, except with regard to food. And that's because the corporations, which make so much money on it, have in 13 states passed these anti-disparagement laws. If you say you think that drinking pasteurized milk is unsafe, or you think that drinking or that eating hot dogs is unsafe, you can be sued.
And it becomes your obligation to defend yourself as opposed to their obligation to prove that you're wrong.
That's how libel laws work in England. That's not how libel laws usually, not libel laws, but slander laws work in the United States. The idea is we're supposed to be able to say anything. Now, what does this mean? It means that if I don't have the freedom of speech to criticize food or to call into question the safety of food, Well, you know, how did food reform come about in the meat industry when all that garbage was falling into our processed meats?
Mm-hmm.
The Jungle was written by Upton Sinclair, read by a president of the United States, and galvanized a movement to make our food supply safe. Well, guess what? The Jungle couldn't be written today, or if it was, Upton Sinclair would have $1 million in legal fees.
Exactly.
Somebody, even if he wins.
Somebody would have sued him, and he probably would have won, but it could have cost him up to $1 million.
Right, and if he didn't have $1 million, you can't win.
Right.
And so you know what kind of power is being brought to bear, Oprah Winfrey was sued by the meat industry because she was talking about mad cow disease.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she was not going to eat hamburgers anymore because of mad cow disease. Now, it doesn't matter whether she was right or wrong. It doesn't matter whether Oprah Winfrey had a point or didn't have a point or whether the meat supply is safe or not. Just for questioning the safety of the meat supply, Oprah Winfrey was sued. Now, if you're going to sue Oprah, you'll sue anybody. Oprah's legal bills approached $1 million. And she was victorious in the end, but she shut up about mad cow disease.
It's a good thing she's Oprah.
Yeah, well, and that's what I'm saying. How many other... You know, you don't pass these laws and sue people because you think you're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Because you teach journalists to shut up and not talk about
how
corporate agribusiness
is. And when you sue Oprah for $1 million, and it costs her $1 million...
To defend herself and win.
You get everyone who doesn't have $1 million to spend on a lawsuit to shut up. And that is the point. The point is to get us to shut up, and Francis and I aren't very good at shutting
up. Yeah, we don't do that too well, do we?
It's not really a skill we possess.
So, I mean, you know, we're fighting an unfair battle. And, you know, part of the way that we fight an unfair battle, and small farmers and small people fight an unfair battle when you talk about fighting corporations, is corporations have almost unlimited resources. And they have their own legal departments, and, you know, they have eternal life and the ability to make their life difficult for anyone who disagrees with them. But back to milk, back to raw milk. One of the main reasons that, I mean, we had milk become pasteurized and save a lot of children's lives. A lot of people were dying because of diseases born on substandard milk. At the same time that the pasteurization movement was happening, there was another equally successful movement called the certified milk movement, where doctors would certify and go visit, form boards that the milk producers who wanted to be certified would sign in on, pay for, and charge more for their milk to make sure that they came from clean, wholesome places.
That seems to be something that's just fallen by the wayside here. And I don't want to say fallen by the wayside because there are programs for different types of things that are going on. But why can't we pay more to have our meat certified that it's been tested for mad cow? Why can't we pay more we pay more for our certified organic vegetables. We're clearly the climate is now is such that we're willing to pay more for these types of products to guarantee our safety, to guarantee that the food we're putting into our children is what we think it is.
And, you know, when we talk about the expensive food, listen, the people don't go hungry because there's not enough food produced. And if you look at the cost of food, the average American family today spends like 10% of their income on food. It used to be that we average American families spent 50% of our income on food. But if the choice is to eat better and eat well, I think that's not a bad way to spend.
Right. Maybe we should live in a slightly smaller home, and we should spend a little bit more of our income on eating good food.
Anyway, the book we're about to talk about with Ron Schmidt, is the author of The Untold Story of Milk, is a little history of milk, the history of the pasteurization movement, the status of milk today, and milk as its role historically in the diet, and also as a curative milk as medicine. We'll be talking with him in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hey, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left in Cafe Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. And our guest today is Dr. Ron Schmidt. Ron Schmidt is a licensed naturopathic physician who's taught at all four of the nation's accredited naturopathic medical schools. He practices in Connecticut, and he was also the first clinical director and chief medical officer of the University of Bridgeport College of Naturopathic Medicine in 1999 and 2000. He's the author of the book, Traditional Foods Are Your Best Medicine. He's an advocate of raw milk, and he joins us today to talk about his more recent book, The Untold Story of Milk. Ron, welcome to the show.
Dr. Ron, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Francis. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Ron, can you tell us about naturopathic medicine and your specialty and what it is that there are only four medical schools and what a naturopathic physician does?
Sure. Naturopathic medicine is essentially treating all manner of medical problems through natural methods. We don't do drugs. We don't do surgery. We treat through nutrition and vitamins and minerals and herbal medicines, food supplements, psychological counseling, homeopathy, all wide variety of natural methods. I specialize in nutritional medicine. Naturopathic physicians are trained at four-year medical schools that specialize in naturopathic medicine. The basic medical sciences are the same that other doctors study the first couple years, but in the clinical years, we study the various natural ways of dealing with problems.
And you're licensed, and are naturopathic physicians licensed in most states, all states?
Actually, no, about 14 states, including now, most recently, California 2 years ago, all the New England states except Massachusetts and several others in between. But only 14. The medical lobby is quite successful in keeping naturopathic physicians from being more widely recognized and licensed.
Why am I not surprised? So why a book on raw milk? Why are you bringing this to the public?
Interesting question. Raw milk has been maligned for so many years that I felt like it really took a book, 350 pages or so, to set the record straight. The fascinating history of milk, of course, the history of milk is really the history of raw milk until 100 years ago. And it's a story that hasn't been previously told, really. If you go back far enough, several thousand years, and take a look at what was happening then historically, civilization was literally built on milk and meat. Milk from goats, and people settled down into villages, stopped wandering, and put their roots in one place, and they did it because they were able to live on the produce of their various animals.
And that was about 12,000 years ago, right?
Different in different parts of the world.
But
it started approximately 10,000-12,000 years ago. I mean, the agricultural revolution really was both plants and the domestication of animals.
And when you think about how central milk is as a food, if you look back, and one of the great things I really like about your book, I mean, you're making a case for the return of raw milk, which is outlawed in many states to even give away. And you make as a scientist and as a physician, you make a case for that. And it also makes a political case to change public policy. But the history of the book, I think, is really fascinating if you're interested in the history of food at all. I mean, there's that whole, I mean, we go all the way back to the land of milk and honey. You know, I mean, that shows you how central milk is to civilized societies.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. There are over 50 allusions in the Bible to the milk and honey.
And none of that biblical milk was pasteurized, I'm assuming.
Well,
not on purpose.
Even today, you know, people... you mentioned that raw milk was illegal to even give away. Actually, it's not illegal to give away. That's in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, even in the states where it's, the sale of raw milk is outlawed, it remains not illegal to give it away.
Well, when I was a kid, Ron, and my dad had a little farm in upstate New York that we frequented on weekends, and we would go up there, and there was a dairy farm across the street, and we could go across the street and buy exactly that, raw milk directly from the farmer, but that was the only way we could possibly get it.
I'm going to ask you a question, and we've only got like a minute and a half or two minutes left in the segment, and if you know we'll come back to it if we don't get through it. But you make a pretty bold assertion in your book, and while you recognize that pasteurization in some situations has saved lives and made milk safer, you assert that pasteurization now has caused much sickness and cost many lives. Can you elaborate on that rather bold claim?
That statement is not meant to stand by itself.
Uh-huh.
as an accusation that the pasteurization of milk directly causes those kind of problems, those mm-hmm. kind of issues. The context of that statement is that in the framework of the adulteration of the food supply, the lack of attention to what I would consider proper animal feeding, natural animal feeding, which is grass for cows as opposed to keeping them in barns and feeding them grains.
Mm.
And the general processing of foods. So the processing of milk involves pasteurization and the destruction of all of the enzymes and a large part of the vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients in the milk. And as such, that contributes to what I perceive of as a societal problem in which the people get sick with the modern diseases. You've all heard of the diseases of civilization. They're not called that for nothing. And the diseases of civilization, from this perspective that I'm describing, are the result in large part of deficiencies caused by overprocessing of the food supply. And pasteurization is part of that overprocessing process.
We're going to talk more about raw milk and the case for bringing back raw milk into the food supply with Dr. Ron Schmidt, the author of The Untold Story of Milk, in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25. You know, Mark and I are always saying that long-term good environmental policy and good economic policy are one and the same. And that's not just for the government, it's also for small business and homeowners just like you. To help us put our money where our mouth is, we called E2ECTA. E2ECTA uses a team of specialists to find practical ways for your business or home to conserve energy and even to generate green energy that the utility company then has to buy back from you. That generates a different kind of green for your bottom line. We've gone solar at our restaurants. We're now producing cheap, non-polluting electricity, and with the help of E2ECTA, we did it for very little money. The government programs available to get you set up are unbelievable. We're talking about grants here, not loans, but grants. E2ECTA will help you find the right programs for you, and they'll do the paperwork. You keep the profits. It's a no-brainer, people. For lower energy usage, more profits for yourself, call E2ECTA at 908-359-9300 or click on their link at restaurantguysradio.com. E2ECTA for total energy solutions. Hey, you're back with The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis on stage left in Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. And our guest today is Dr. Ron Schmidt. He's a naturopathic physician, and he's an advocate for raw, that means unpasteurized milk, coming back into the food supply and being widely used.
You know, Ron, it seems like what we're seeing out there are companies that want to treat their animals and treat their facilities poorly and then irradiate or ultra-pasteurize our foods in order to make them safe for us again. What's your position there?
That's an accurate description, Mark. The production of food today is controlled by corporations. Legally, corporations have one primary obligation, and that is to maximize profits for their shareholders. In order to do that, it requires them to treat animals in ways that human beings have not traditionally treated animals. Human beings traditionally treated animals with a great deal of respect. They were not mechanisms for profit.
So there's no legal obligation for our health?
And there's no legal obligation to treat an animal morally or well?
Of course not. And that's the problem. And the result is 750,000 or so deaths from heart disease, another 750,000 from cancer every year, from the diseases of civilization.
You know, let me just clarify what Dr. Ron and Mark are talking about. I mean, the idea is, look, human beings have always had a cow on the farm, right? And you treat that cow with a certain amount of respect, and you let it be a cow. Like, you would never confine your cow and never let it move around and pump it full of antibiotics and cut its tail off, right? You wouldn't do that as an individual. Because human beings have a certain amount of restraint when it comes to that, and it's one that's part of your family life. If a corporation has to view a cow as a meat machine and a milk machine...
They don't view a cow. They view 500,000 cows this is what we're going to do to 500,000 cows.
And so they pump them full. The best way to get the most meat and the most milk is to not be so clean and not treat them with respect. Pump them full of antibiotics, pump them full of growth hormones, and then get as much out of them as you can. And I think what Dr. Ron is saying is that, you know, like a machine, garbage in, garbage out. And why these big companies want to irradiate food and ultra-pasteurize food is because it makes up for just having clean and wholesome practices in the beginning, which are a lot more expensive. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Dr. Ron Schmidt. He wrote this great book called The Untold Story of Milk. It's the case for bringing back raw milk into our diet, and it's a darn good one, and it's an interesting read, whether you agree with him or not. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, here with Francis Schott. Together we own Stage Left and Captain Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Our guest today is Dr. Ron Schmidt. He is a licensed naturopathic physician who's taught at all four of the nation's accredited naturopathic medical schools. His practice is in Connecticut. He's the author of the book Traditional Foods Are Your Best Medicine, and he's also an advocate of raw milk. He joins us today to talk about his more recent book, The Untold Story of Milk. Dr. Ron, you talk about, and I think this people don't often get exposed to, the people who believe in the many benefits of raw milk, and you talk about it both as food and as medicine. Make the case for raw milk as food.
Milk is the only thing in nature that is exclusively designed by nature as food. It really has no other purpose. Everything else that people eat has some other purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit of a plant or the seed or...
Sure, it's an egg or...
Obviously an egg or you're eating the meat, an animal. Milk is designed by nature as food, and as such, it really is nature's perfect food. The modern ideas that milk is bad, that milk makes people have allergies, all these kind of problems that are found with milk today, there's something behind all of that has to do with the overprocessing of milk and with changing the modern cow from a grazing animal that was out in the sun eating grass all day into sort of a milk machine that lives in a barn eating grains.
It seems that more of us are becoming lactose intolarent as the years go by.
That's a misnomer.
Okay, what's the cause of that?
Lactose intolerance is really intolerance to pasteurized milk from animals that are not eating enough grass.
So if you're lactose intolerant right now to normal pasteurized commercially available milk, most people who switch to unpasteurized milk from a grass-fed cow will be able to tolerate it?
Yes.
Wow.
That's true, and I've seen that for over 25 years.
And you're a physician who practices, so you've actually been intimately involved in cases like that.
Yeah, the sale of raw milk is illegal in New Jersey. It's completely legal in Connecticut. We have over 15 licensed farms with license to sell raw milk. It's available widely in health food stores in Connecticut, and it's relatively easy for my patients to secure quality raw milk, and it's often a very important part of their recovery from every conceivable chronic disease.
What does milk do in the body to help people recover from disease and fight disease when it's unpasteurized in its raw state that it doesn't do when it's pasteurized?
Raw food has enzymes. Enzymes are killed by heat.
Mm-hmm.
So all processed foods are devoid of enzymes. Enzymes are the difference between me sitting here talking to you and me lying dead on the floor. You kill the enzymes, you kill the person.
I'd like you to have some enzymes.
Yeah.
Enzymes die at about 107 or 108 degrees.
Wow.
That's why you cook when you get over 100. If the body core temperature gets over 108 degrees or so, you're gone. So that's what enzymes are all about.
That's a great point. Hold on a second. That's a great point.
It really is.
When you hit 107, 108 degrees, your enzymes fail, you fail.
Your brain fries.
And if you cook your milk to 108 degrees, it's now dead food.
That's correct.
Hmm.
Yeah, now, there's a place for cooked food. I mean, there's a balance between raw and cooked food in the diet. But modern eating has gone way to the extreme of overcooking, allegedly in the name of safety, but really, I don't think that's what it's all about. It's not about safety. It's about putting small farmers out of business. There were 3.1 million small farmers at the end of World War II in the United States who were selling raw milk to their friends and neighbors, an average of 8 cows each. Now you've got 100,000 dairy farmers left with an average of 80 cows each, and your friends and neighbors are not getting raw milk from the little farm down the street.
No, they're really not.
You know, the thing that we're talking about here is, look, if corporate agribusiness wants to use their current methods to make milk, the only way to make that kind of milk safe is to boil it, is to pasteurize it. But if your local farmer down the street can make a better quality milk that commands a higher price and keep him on the farm, he's going to give that corporation a run for its money. So what's a good thing for a corporation to do? Make it illegal for him to sell his raw milk, and then all the milk is the same, and then the corporation wins out of hand.
And then there's clearly a quality difference.
Because
I've had fresh milk right from the farm, raw. There's a clear quality difference between that and what you buy in a carton in your store.
Is that why raw milk is illegal, to give the advantage to the large corporation and take it away from the small farmer?
The you're asking me?
Yes.
Well, that's obviously a contributing factor. The people who run the bureaucracies will never tell you that.
Right.
They'll say that they're doing their job of keeping food safe. Now, they can't do much about the fast food joint that sells tainted hamburgers, because the fast food joint has probably got all kinds of clout somewhere that keeps the investigation from going very far.
Mm-hmm.
But they can do a lot about the little farmer who has a couple cows and sold raw milk to his neighbor.
Let's go back, and one of the things, I mean, this book is a tome, and it's a very, you make excellent cases and excellent arguments substantiated with data. Let's talk about the history of raw milk as things switched over from raw milk and places where raw milk is available to where it's not. You talk about native peoples, including, you know, everything from Native Americans to isolated villages in the Swiss Alps. What are the different things that you found in your research that would happen to populations as they went from their traditional diets into the modern diet, and then sometimes back to the traditional diet.
Into so-called civilized culture.
You mentioned the Swiss mountain villages. There's a very interesting set of stories, really, from the work of Weston Price, fascinating work by Weston Price in the 1930s, where he studied people in a Swiss village that was isolated at that point and really hadn't had contact with modern civilization. And the people there lived on the products of their cows, basically cows and goats, lots of raw milk and raw cheeses and so forth. There had never been a case of tuberculosis in the valley, in the entire history of the valley. He checked the records, and no one had ever died of tuberculosis in the valley. And, of course, that was the number one killer in the world in the 1930s.
Right.
And yet, in the rest of Switzerland, tuberculosis was rampant, as it was in the rest of the civilized world. That's kind of one example. There are stories like that from medical doctors who studied native people in the early part of the 20th century throughout the world.
You know,
medical doctors, one medical doctor up in Alaska, after 35 years there, wrote that he'd never seen a single case of cancer or diabetes or colitis among the native people who were eating their native diets.
Yet,
of course, their native foods were meat. Right, and we're not talking about milk there. They were living on meat. They
and
were
blubber.
Living on animals and fish, full of cholesterol, incidentally.
So why isn't anybody telling the story but you and us?
No money in it.
Yeah.
That sums it up, right? Money in it.
You know, I agree with you, but you know what the heck? We may as well tell it. We got a radio show for now until they get after us. One of the things that happened in that Swiss study that was really interesting. Is that the doctor who went and noted that the people in that small village had been very, very healthy when they were on their traditional diet. He was a dentist by training, and he noticed that their teeth were perfect, as in so many native people, without benefit of modern dentistry, their teeth are perfect. And in this Swiss village, there were many people who had left the village, gone to live in a city for a year or two, and then come back to the village, and those people had evidence of tooth decay that lasted for a year or two.
I blame Twinkies.
And then, upon returning to the village, that tooth decay not only stopped, but the teeth began to re-enamelize, which is amazing. I mean, do you find that every time they study native people that's the sort of story we find?
Well, that's a particularly dramatic example. And, of course, these people remember, too, that their diets were really not like anything that almost anyone gets today.
Right.
Although I've had patients who had children who had minor cavities that managed to heal over when they got on special supplements.
You just said heal over.
I mean, we use cod liver oil and X-Factor butter oil and a number of other things that are described on my website.
That's pretty amazing. Hey, and speaking of your website, we're talking with Dr. Ron Schmidt. He's the author of a wonderful book called The Untold Story of Milk. You can go to www.drrons.com. We're going to link you to him through our website at stage left at restaurantguysradio.com. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a controversial claim, the prospect that cholesterol might indeed be good for you. And we'll be talking more about that in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45. Hi, this is Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants and also of The Restaurant Guys radio show. You know, one of the best things about the restaurant business is the creative side of it. Coming up with big ideas and then turning those concepts into reality is awesome. It's what I love most about what I do. But it can't stop there. If you can't communicate exactly what it is you're doing, then you'll find yourself standing alone in your dining room, just you and your big ideas. The Mardini Group can help you get your ideas across to others. The Mardini Group is a boutique graphic design firm, and they do extraordinary work. We use them, and as you know, we only use the best. Whether it's menu design, product packaging, a corporate report, promo material, a homepage, or an awesome logo for a brand new project like Catherine Lombardi, we turn to the Mardini Group. Some small business owners don't realize how important it is to have a strong visual identity. Without it, you come across as less than professional. That can cost you trust, and that lowers your bottom line. First impressions count for a lot, and that's why you need the Mardini Group. Go to RestaurantGuysRadio.com and click on the Mardini Group link, or call them at 718-694-9944. The Mardini Group for graphic design, 718-694-9944.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left at Catherine Lombardi Restaurant. Our guest today is Ron Schmidt. He is the author of the fabulous book, The Untold Story of Milk. We'll tell you how to get to Dr. Schmidt's website and also how to get the book if you go to our website, restaurantguysradio.com. And we were talking before the break, Dr. Ron, and I want to continue with that conversation.
Okay, about cholesterol?
About cholesterol. You make the bold claim that cholesterol may be good for you, and all these cholesterol-lowering drugs that we're taking may be barking up the wrong tree.
Every cell in every animal's body, including you guys and me, is full of cholesterol. Cholesterol is part of the cell membrane of every cell in an animal or human's body. It's used to make hormones that have important functions all over the body. It's essential to life as we know it.
But why does modern medicine say that too much cholesterol is a bad thing and you disagree?
Well, I wrote a 40-page chapter on that with about 100 references, and it's a complex question, but in essence, cholesterol is a natural part of all the healthiest foods in the world,
mm-hmm.
and it's totally normal. Human beings have always eaten lots and lots of cholesterol in their diet, and essentially without problems. Cholesterol has been scapegoated because the powers that be do not want to face or deal with the fact that processed foods are the real cause of the modern diseases, including heart disease and circulatory disease. So the evidence for cholesterol is so weak, as far as it being a cause of heart disease, is so weak upon any kind of careful examination that the whole argument falls apart.
But haven't there been...
What we're looking at is a concerted campaign on the part of very powerful economic interests. I mean, you got a $10 billion a year industry selling cholesterol-lowering drugs.
That's a lot of money.
Now, one of the things that you talk about that I think is fairly apparent is, as these diseases, and we're all seeing obesity rise and diabetes rise and childhood diabetes rise and all of these different things, as all these things get worse and heart conditions get worse, we're lowering, as a population, the amount of cholesterol we take in. We take in less cholesterol than we did in 1900, yet these diseases are going up. What we're doing, what we're eating more of is processed foods. That would seem evident on the face of it, wouldn't it?
It's not only evident on the face of it. The deeper you look, the more evident it becomes. And again, there's no money in raw food. There's no money in natural foods, in the sense that it's very profitable to propagate myths about health.
When you write in your history about how the forced pasteurization of milk came about to be law in several different states, there was a competing movement at the time, and prior to this, children were getting sick and dying because of poorly held cows and bad quality milk and unhygienically kept milk. There were two movements. One was to pasteurize all milk, and the other was to certify milk that came from well-fed, well-kept cows in clean environments. Can you talk to us about the certified milk?
I mean, we all learned as children that pasteurization was one of the great movements in
life-saving
times.
What was the alternative? What was the certified milk movement about?
There was considerable problems in the late 1800s, throughout the second half of the 18th century, with milk that was raw milk, the only milk there was then, that was from animals that were kept in what were called distillery dairies. Essentially, the whiskey industry, all the waste products of the whiskey industry were fed to cows in dairies that were literally right next to the stills.
We've just been feeding
and
cows all sorts of crap
animals,
for all these years.
Pardon me?
We've just been feeding cows all sorts of crap for a lot of years.
Unfortunately so, yes. And the milk from those animals was not particularly particularly healthy, and there's some evidence that there was a certain amount of sickness due to that milk. Pasteurization was a quick fix in that by pasteurizing the milk, it killed the organisms that were causing disease and made the milk people were able to drink it without becoming acutely ill. Long-term health is another story. The alternative was certification, which was a movement started in 1893 by a medical doctor, actually, from New Jersey named Henry Coit. And medical doctors throughout the country worked together to certify milk, inspect dairies and certified milk so that they would have clean, raw milk for their patients, which they considered essential. That went on into the 1940s, 1950s, when a concentrated campaign, basically a smear campaign of deliberate lies, propagated through a cooperative media, which was full of pasteurized milk companies' advertisements, was used to smear raw milk and create the condition, really, which has lasted until now, where most people are afraid of raw milk because it's been given a bad name through false propaganda.
Well, and now at the end of your book, you propose unregulated farmer-to-consumer sale of raw milk and regulated retail store sales of raw milk and raw milk products. Can that really happen?
Seems doubtful, doesn't it?
It does feel doubtful, I have to say.
Yeah, but you come on radio shows.
Better chance in a lot of other countries in the world than there is here with the current political climate, what it is.
So, but I mean,
but it's reasonable. It's a perfectly reasonable idea. If you're willing to go to the farm and talk to the farmer and get the raw milk there, it's between you and him. If he's doing a decent job with his animals and producing decent milk, you should be able to decide that.
I mean, I don't even understand
if it looks unclean, don't buy it.
You know,
why can't you just label your the milk? This is raw milk.
Take it.
If you want to put a warning label on it, put a warning label on it.
Well, you should put a warning label on hamburger meat.
Exactly.
Too.
Well, hey, listen, Dr. Rod, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us about your book. We're going to refer people to it. I think it's a story that needs to be told. The book is The Untold Story of Milk, Green Pastures, Contented Cows, and Raw Dairy Foods by Ron Schmidt, who's a naturopathic doctor. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dr. Ron.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Catherine Lombardian Stage Left Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. You know, that was a very interesting guest we had today was Dr. Ron Schmidt. He's an advocate for raw milk, and he's written a great book, which you can find by going to our website, restaurantguysradio.com.
And he's taken a whole different tack on curing illness and a whole different direction. And for me, I think that there's somewhere in the middle that we could meet with contemporary doctoring and some holistic healing. These foods kept people healthy for a really long time.
But people should have the option to get whole milk and take the risks involved in whole milk. And it's big corporate agribusiness firms that want to keep you from having that option because they can't cheaply mistreat their animals and get milk that they don't need to pasteurize.
It's not just that. When you put their milk side by side with well taken care of cows and their milk, one's clearly going to outshine the other.
If they're not pasteurized, one's clearly going to outshine the other. If they are pasteurized, they're going to look very much the same, which is exactly what they want.
A bunch of cooked homogenized milk.
You know what else we got? We got to touch on briefly with Dr. Ron off the air, and we didn't get to touch on the show, something your father has said many years ago, and Mark's father is a scientist as well, is that homogenization also leads to...
dietary problems.
Dietary problems.
It's one of the things he said for a long time is when you homogenize milk, you put it in a giant centrifuge, spin it around really, really fast. And what he's saying is that breaks the fat molecules down it over breaks them down. It breaks them down into two smaller particles
that your body can absorb all too well.
That we're over absorbing the fats in the milk more than we should actually be absorbing, and that's creating problems for us. And I always thought that was an interesting scientific theory that my dad has talked about for years and years and years.
Look, people lived on raw milk and unpasteurized milk for a long, 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 long time, 6,000, 12,000 years, and, you know, yes, we need to treat our animals well, yes, we need to make sure our milk supply is pure, but we don't need to boil everything, okay, and I think it's time to take a look at that. If you want to check out where you might be able to get raw milk, it's illegal to sell in Jersey, but you can get it in Pennsylvania, and you can get it in Connecticut. Go to realmilk.com, and you can figure that out, and
you can also come to our website. We'll put all these websites up. Definitely Ron's website will be on there. He's got a lot of choices for you for different types of of ways to treat illness.
And I recommend the book. It's a great read, even just as a history of what happened, even if you wind up disagreeing. Hope you've enjoyed listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schock.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey 1450. The time is 12 noon.